50 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 39 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's arch support experts. Hope you guys are doing well this morning. Hope you guys are ready to roll. We got plenty to talk about today. We talked a lot yesterday on Talking Tuesday, had several guests lined up. Got to talk with you guys a little bit now. We look forward to talking some college football playoff rankings. We'll definitely continue to break down this SEC championship matchup, get you guys ready for that. A familiar opponent, but always good to talk about and discuss a little bit. Both teams look a little bit different since the last time that they faced each other. We'll talk a little bit about that, what to expect. We'll get there. But first, we got plenty to dive into, just like we have plenty to talk about with coaching changes and firings and hirings, all that stuff. Well, last night, Chase, Reed, Wyatt, you guys hanging out in the studio. I'm sure you guys are well aware and probably watched a little bit of it. But we had the latest college football playoff rankings reveal last night. I guess I'll say like this. If you're an Alabama fan, really good news. Alabama made the jump. A lot of people anticipated. Of course, Vegas knew before everybody else, right? The numbers were already going into effect well early in to the day. So they already had an idea. Somebody must have a big mouth in that committee. They definitely have one when it comes time to explain the rankings, which make no sense. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. But if you're an Alabama fan, good news. You make the jump ahead of Notre Dame. We'll talk about why that is good news here in a little bit. But I can't help but notice this, guys, and I'll talk about it here in a second. And we'll talk more about it at 11:30 when Gray Robertson, my partner over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, we host the post-game show for Alabama football. He'll join us at 11:30 and break it all down for us like he's been doing the last couple weeks. But I can't help but notice, guys, I mean, the inconsistencies with the committee, like while I'm glad they did the right thing, here's the fact of the matter. Alabama should have never been behind Notre Dame, which we know that. But then hearing the reasoning for why they gave Alabama the bump, I'm sorry, but I can understand why a lot of people are now frustrated seeing Alabama move ahead of Notre Dame, right? The way they went about it is their fault. It is completely their fault that people are frustrated. Now people are shouting Bama bias, SEC bias, which it looks like that, unless you just realize Alabama should have been there already, and they really are just trying to right a wrong that they had from a few weeks ago. That's what it boils down to. But on the outside, looking in, if you're not a SEC fan or not a Bama fan, of course it's going to look like that. And again, I blame that on the committee, who at this point in time, guys, I mean, their explanations for some of their moves, I know people always talk about it and throw it out there, but I'm almost just ready to say to hell with it. I agree with you guys. Just bring back the BCS, man. You know, keep it as the playoff system, but just bring back the BCS, because the people on this committee, if they really believe the things that they come on national television and say, they have no business being in that committee. And I hate being that get off my grass guy. I feel like I've been a little bit more of that recently, man. Maybe it's because my dad is not on here. Like, it's maybe I'm just naturally taking on that spirit. But I don't think I'm being that in this situation. I think anybody would agree with me. We're all happy that Alabama moved up. But just hearing them talk about it, it just makes no sense. And I'll explain a little bit more when we come back here in a second. And then we'll talk more about it with Gray. But like, on one hand, I'm happy. On the other hand, I'm like, it just further, I think, solidifies that this committee is, I don't want to be saying, oh, they're flawed, this and that. But I'm losing more and more faith in these guys by the second. I guess that's the best way to put it. So we'll talk about that. Hey, another thing we got to talk about, and I don't know how in depth we'll go. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. But signing day is today. If you guys didn't know, I don't blame you if you don't know. The only reason you probably would know is if you follow Alabama football and other, you know, football teams on social media, everybody's posting about it. I forgot. I mean, back when I was, you know, coming out, it was always like February 2nd or February, whatever it was. And now with the early period and everybody pretty much being signed by now, and with the transfer portal and with all this going on, this madness with the playoff rankings, I've lost track of all this recruiting stuff, but we'll talk about it a little bit, at least, you know, surface level where we, you know, come in at it with rankings and stuff. Cause I know some of you guys are big onto that. I'll be honest with you. I'm cool on it. I could really care less about, I could not care less about where those rankings come in. I just want good players that are good fits, good athletes that I think are going to be good football players here at the university, regardless of what they're ranked, which we've gotten to actually look at a couple of these guys back in the spring. I think some of you had some questions about some of them. So I do at least know a handful of them. And I'll name some of those guys that I did get to really look into and tell you who I'm excited about for this recruiting class. But nonetheless, man, anybody that signs with Alabama, like I said, regardless of where they're rated or where they're from, whatever, I'm always going to root for them and always give them a big open welcome to the brotherhood, the B-Side 5 brotherhood. And as me being a former player, I'm always excited to see the new wave of guys. And I just hope and pray that they attack this opportunity that they've been blessed with the same, you know, excitement and, you know, just the intensity that we had, right? That's all I asked for, man. If you're going to put on that crimson jersey, I just hope these guys all have that same level of passion and intensity that we had. Because I know in today's day and age, it's a little bit different with NIL and all that stuff. But from what I've seen, man, we do a good job of recruiting guys that want to be here. It's not so much about the numbers. I mean, yes, that plays a role. We know that. I mean, it's inevitable. However, I will say this, just from all my knowledge of recruiting and stuff and how everything goes on, we're not one of the programs that's just, you know, have an open checkbook out and just giving whatever. So typically, if you see guys, especially highly rated guys that could go get these bags, probably even bigger bags from other schools, they're choosing to come to Alabama. So I will say that without even knowing these guys personally, I can say in today's day and age with NIL, while we do have a good NIL program, I'm not denying that. I know for a fact that other schools, whether it's Oregon, Ohio State, whoever you want to name, they have bigger NIL budgets than a lot of these players. These top guys could get more money. So the fact that they're choosing to come to Alabama, I respect it. And I welcome you guys here. So shout out to all the young men that are making that life-changing decision, not necessarily the decision because they probably already committed here, but signing that piece of paper known as not NIL, but NLI. Congratulations, man. I hope it's the best decision that you've ever made. Definitely was one of the best decisions that I've ever made. And I'm forever grateful for the opportunity to come play here. So hopefully you guys share that same level of passion and enthusiasm to be able to say that you're a future football player, or now, I guess now official football player for the University of Alabama. That said, we're going to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the college football playoffs here with ourselves. Then at 11:30, we'll do some more with my partner over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, Gray Robertson, also broadcaster and analyst with SEC Network and more. He covers women's basketball, volleyball, softball. He does it all. You've heard him all over the place, I'm sure. That is Gray Robertson. He'll join us at 11:30. Plus, we'll take you guys' calls. We'll talk with you guys here in the chat. Come hang out with us if you guys want to watch us do the show live. We do it every day, Monday through Friday, 11 to 1. Central Time over on YouTube and Facebook. YouTube at The Miller's Edge. Facebook at Tide 100.9, the official page right there. Come hang out with us. We'd love to have you. Or if you're sticking in with radio or the Tide 100.9 app, which we urge you guys to download, welcome in. We always embrace all of our listeners on all of our platforms here on The Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's arts support experts. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Tax deductible donation. Go online to eldridgetoyrun.com. The 23rd annual Eldridge Toy Run, December 6th in Eldridge. Special thanks to Taylor Electrical.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so before we really dive into the whole, you know, college football playoff rankings, we'll do a quick little discussion here with ourselves, because 11:30 we'll discuss it with Gray Robertson of the Crimson Tide Sports Network, my partner over there with our post-game show that we do every game day. You guys can always check that out about 45 minutes or so after the game concludes. You can always tune into the Crimson Tide Sports Network or wherever you catch that and listen to us do the show. But you'll hear from him here in a moment. But these are my initial thoughts. I just threw this on the screen. It's not huge. Let me make it a little bit bigger for you guys on the stream. There you go. That's a little bit better. Here are the updated rankings December 2nd, which was last night with the show. So we talked about it. Alabama makes the jump over Notre Dame. They move to the number 9 spot after picking up a victory in the Iron Bowl over the rival, the Auburn Tigers, right, on the road. That was noted, and I should probably just pull this up. I'll get this clip loaded. The explanation that they gave for moving Alabama up, right? A lot of people anticipated. We saw that Vegas already had odds of Alabama making the playoffs jump drastically, so I think it was pretty understood that Alabama more than likely was going to make the jump, right? But let's go ahead and hear from Hunter Yurecek, right, playoff committee chair, and hear his reason for moving Alabama up to the number nine spot.
Notre Dame went on the road, had a strong win at Stanford, but Alabama went on the road in a rivalry game, looked really good, especially in the first half, getting up 17-0, ran the ball well. Auburn came back at them. They had a great gutsy call on 4th-and-2 late in the third quarter to get a touchdown, and then got the turnover late in that game. And I think that was enough to change the minds of a couple of committee members to push Alabama up ahead of Notre Dame in this week's rankings.
So there you go. That was Hunter Yurecek, right? The chair that everybody just has grown to love, right? Everybody loves him this season. That was his reason for moving Alabama up. And again, moving Alabama up is right. Let me preface by saying this, because I don't want people to misconstrue what I'm saying, right, or hear what they want to hear. No, this is what I'm saying. I'm glad that they moved Alabama up. Alabama should be ahead of Notre Dame. But this is my thing. We should have been ahead of Notre Dame. And I'm going to be honest with you. If I was a fan of an out-of-conference fan or whoever, and I heard his reasoning for why they moved Alabama up, I would call BS, right? Because let's just call a spade. I mean, yes, we did run the ball better, and we were up 17-0. But according to these guys, when you struggle in games, especially games that you're not supposed to struggle in, that normally works against you. Here's my example, right? Think back to South Carolina, right? When we almost lost, right? We beat South Carolina, but we're coming close to it. They used that against us in the past few weeks, talking about us struggling against the South Carolina team. Well, then you have us going on the road against Auburn, and Auburn's record's not great. And we definitely ran the ball better, and we started decent. But again, at the end of the game, I mean, you know, it was getting tight. They were marching down almost scoring. To me, I'm just like, now you're praising us for a close game against an opponent, like an unranked opponent like that on the road. But why did you use that against us when we played against South Carolina? Not only that, a somewhat tight LSU game, which really, I mean, what was it, like 20-9, I think it was. So 11-point win over LSU at home. Who's got a good defense as well. Very similar. It's like an Auburn-type team. You know, the record should be better. They're an SEC team. Quality wanted that. They just, you know, they've played tight games. They use that against us too. But then now they use it in our favor to justify their decision to move us above Notre Dame. Again, I'm not trying to sound like I don't like the decision. I repeat, the decision is the right decision. But I can see why a lot of people in the college football world are now in a frenzy and all claiming SEC bias, Alabama bias, because it doesn't line up. You get what I'm saying? That's my whole point. That Alabama should be above Notre Dame. I'm happy they are above Notre Dame. What I'm not happy with is the inconsistencies that we're getting from this committee, even when they kept asking him, and I'll try to pull this clip up as well, Reese Davis did a good job trying to really push it, right? Like, hey, so will the conference championships have any effect on where their teams come in the final rankings? He wouldn't give a complete answer on it, right? It was just kind of weird, which I understand they're trying to play it safe. We've already seen they had to right a wrong just now, this past week, or yesterday, with Alabama. So he doesn't want to say too much because he understands, you know, if it's a blowout, that probably could affect someone. And that leads us to the title, right? Is Alabama a playoff lock? I think the move to nine pretty much solidifies a playoff spot. Unless I could maybe see a world where if it's an extremely poor game for Alabama, even though it should have no effect on a team playing in a conference championship game, because he would not double down and at least guarantee that if you play in a championship game, it will have no effect. That shows me if there is any type of reason that, and I think it'd have to be a very strong reason, like a blowout type loss, they could potentially hold a team like Alabama out of the college football playoffs, which leads me to say this would be absurd, right? Even though Alabama would be a 3-loss team, the fact that we're playing an extra game is even a thing. That's why I think at the end of the day, and that would lead to a whole hell of a lot more controversy. If you leave a team out of the college football playoffs, like Alabama, who comes in as the number one seed in the conference, so basically the top team in the best conference, Even if you just, I know, you know, Big Ten people want to argue that. Just look at the top teams right now. And even some of the teams that aren't in the top, you know, rankings right now. Like a Missouri, some of these other, these are good football teams. We have the best conference. If you leave the top seed in that conference out, I could see potentially a world where Greg Sankey and company say, hey, all right, we're packing this up. You think they're just going to cancel the conference championship games? No. But I can guarantee you they would make a stand, like a firm stance with this committee or whatever it is and say, hey, we'll just do our own thing. Because if you punish a team like Alabama for losing this game, which I'm not going to lie, I could see a world, like I just said, if it's a bad loss, I could see them making some type of movement. All hell would probably break loose. Even though it already is somewhat of a frenzy. I mean, you look at even like the whole Notre Dame-Miami argument, that's an interesting one right there. I know a lot of people are even throwing Texas in there. I think the biggest thing for me, we'll hit a timeout right here because you got Gray Robertson coming up, is if I'm being honest with you, I understand trying to provide opportunities for teams like, you know, these group of five teams and whatever, but the fact that there's a chance that, 7-5 Duke makes the college football playoffs. So we're talking about an Alabama team playing the SEC championship could potentially, I don't think it happens, but could potentially lose a spot. You got teams sitting there like Miami, Texas, hell, even Vanderbilt, right? Much better football teams than this Duke football team, but because they end up winning the ACC championship, to me, I mean, that's just absurd, man. And I just feel like it's almost kind of a little bit of a charity case. I'm sorry, I hate to say it like that, but I would almost try to just do something separate. Like, let those little teams play each other for, like, a little bonus spot, like a little play-in game or something like that. But we can't have teams like Texas and Miami and, you know, these bubble teams that are actually good football teams sitting on the curb while a Duke team is in here. I don't like that. We're going to talk a lot more about this with Gray Robertson coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Would love to get y'all's thoughts. 205-342-9904 is the number. Plus, you guys can always join us on the stream. Let us know in the chat. We got a bunch of conversations going on, so we'll talk about that too as well. Coming up right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Nature Made is made to care for you every day. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of the Miller's Edge. Might as well go with Wacky Wednesday because these playoffs, man, have all types of things wacky in college football. And that's why we're going to be joined now by my partner over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, Gray Robertson, also SEC analyst and broadcaster, to help us make sense of all this stuff and break everything down. Gray does a good job with it every week on our post-game show, and he's a big college football fan. So we look no further than to Gray Robertson. Gray, welcome in, man. How's your week going?
It's been all right, Christian. Good to be back with you and try and, like you said, make sense of the nonsensical. I love some of the things that happened, and it's all like 3 weeks too late, but we'll do our best to parse through it.
Yeah, and that's literally what I was saying. It's like I love the move, right, because that's been the right move the whole time, but I don't love the reasoning, and I'm like, I understand why people on the outside would be frustrated. Let's just dive into it. And since we're talking about it, Alabama, in fact, moved up to 9 ahead of Notre Dame. Vegas had already been on it. A lot of the numbers coming out indicated that more than likely Alabama was going to make that jump. We saw it come to fruition last night. But then the reasoning we just played it was, you know, I think, you know, the game in the Iron Bowl where Alabama went up 17, Auburn started making the comeback a little bit. They ran the ball better. But the gutsy fourth down and the late turnover, that was enough to seal the deal for, you know, about half of the committee members, some weird excuse like that. So again, I love the move, but then I'm like, what's weird to me is, I mean, y'all just penalized us and punished us the past few weeks for South Carolina and LSU being quote unquote tight games, even though those teams are very similar to Auburn. Record doesn't necessarily reflect the, you know, the talent of those teams. What did you make of that move with Alabama moving to 9 and then their reasoning for it?
Well, the simple explanation is that's not the reasoning. It's right. It's so that Alabama's protected for the college football playoff so that they're not docked for losing in the SEC championship, which I think is the way that this all should have looked. But it looks a lot sketchier when you do it now, as opposed to 2 weeks when I came on your show. And they had Tennessee and Missouri in the rankings. Alabama's resume at that point was far and away better than Notre Dame's. It still is, but not quite as much right now. So it would have made a lot more sense to maybe be a little bit more proactive if that was the vision down the line, to make that move back when you had those extra top 25 wins for Alabama on the docket. But, I mean, this is purely done so that, rightfully, a team playing that 13th game doesn't get punished and knocked out of the field if they were to lose said 13th game or 13th game. And if I'm Notre Dame, I'm really annoyed today because they probably, like, again, this, everyone probably knew it was coming, and then they probably got lulled into a false sense of, well, surely this week they're not going to do it. And then, like you said, the committee backtracked on most of their analysis of Alabama to put them up a spot, just, you know, in case they lose by a touchdown to Georgia on Saturday, they won't be out of the field.
Yeah, that's exactly what it really is. And he can't just come on there and say that, but we all know that's what it was. And to me, I think that's why it kind of is just taking the credibility away from this committee. Let me ask you this, Gray. You mentioned maybe a touchdown loss, but you also said that, you know, look, they made that move to protect Alabama because they know, right, you can't leave. Number one, you can't punish a football team for playing a conference championship game. We saw that with SMU last year. You definitely don't expect to see that with a team out of the SEC, let alone the University of Alabama. But let me ask you this, because I did say this earlier. Even though I think they made this move with the intentions of protecting Alabama, I agree 100%. I still, for whatever reason, maybe just because I have trust issues with these guys now, I still can see a world, unfortunately, where, say it's a two-touchdown loss to Georgia, they find a way to potentially move Alabama back out. And the reason I say that is Reese Davis was kind of pushing at Hunter Yurecek and asking him, hey, does that mean what's set is set in the teams that are playing, they won't be affected? He wasn't budging. He got asked that question maybe two times at least, and it sounded like he was kind of leaving the door open for, you know, maybe if something does happen, right, they have that flexibility. Did you also kind of hear that as well, or do you think there is a world where if Alabama loses, again, I don't think this happens at all, but just say for whatever reason, injuries, whatever happens, Alabama somehow loses by two plus scores, do you think there is a world where Alabama is left off?
I think that for that to happen, there would have to be a near perfect storm of everything going wrong, which, mm-hmm. you know, fingers crossed that doesn't happen. But I mean, we're talking, it would probably need to be 17 plus. I think even a two touchdown loss, you could negotiate, like, if it's a late touchdown, you know, if Georgia just, you know, got a little greedy at the end, won some style points, et cetera. Alabama would have to look overmatched and get blown out score wise on the field. And I think you'd also have to have an injury to someone of significance. And the only person I can think of that would be is Ty Simpson. And then I think the committee would open the door to, because we do have that, you know, we've seen that with Florida State, but also you would have to have the specific timing of the injury. Like, it would have to happen probably in the first half, and then Alabama looks lost. So there's a very specific scenario where Alabama could lose significantly and get left out. But honestly, I don't foresee it. Not even necessarily based on the result of the game, but I think it would look even worse if the committee did all this and then suddenly decided, well, now here's how we're going to shift this. And actually, guess what, Miami, you're ahead of Notre Dame now. And, you know, and then you have the BYU piece of it all. Like, it would be epic backtracking if they knocked Alabama out, no matter what happens on Saturday.
Well, that's good news. I think that makes a lot of Alabama fans feel pretty confident now, because I'll be honest with you, I still see some fans kind of wondering in the back of their mind, is there some, you know, reason to be concerned a little bit with the outcome of this game? But knowing you, man, Gray, you're the expert when it comes to this. So that makes all of us feel much better here on the Miller's Edge. We're joined by Gray Robertson of the Crimson Tide Sports Network, SEC analyst and broadcasters. Well, hey, Gray, let me ask you, you mentioned some of those other teams, the BYUs, the Miamis, the Notre Dames. What did you make out of all that stuff? Because there's also a lot of conversations regarding that, especially the Notre Dame, Miami situation, right? Miami, you know, has the head-to-head over them. That's an interesting one. You got BYU that has to play this weekend as well. What's kind of like the latest with those teams? And give us kind of your thoughts on that whole situation. And does Miami still have a chance in this whole thing? I mean, I feel like they should find some place for a team like a Miami, at least over if there's a chance Duke gets in there. To me, that just bothers me that you would have Duke in here just because they won the conference championship over a team like Miami, who we know is so talented. I mean, just, you know what I mean? We've seen games where these teams get in here and they get blown out. I don't want to see that. I want to see good football teams play good football teams. Is there any hope for a team like Miami or maybe even a Texas Vanderbilt at this point?
Well, let's get to the cut line. I think basically, considering what the matchups are, who's playing this weekend, and how the math all works out, the cut line is 12. So everyone at 13 and below, unless you're in play for an auto bid, thank you for coming, Texas, Vanderbilt, Utah. We appreciate your seasons. You will be credited with a really good bowl game, but you are probably, I mean, there's almost no chance that Texas and Vanderbilt get into the playoff. I think the Miami piece, there's still an opening. And I again, take it with a grain of salt because it's a comment from Hunter Yurchek, who I have not necessarily been, I'll put it this way, impressed with in some of his explanations of some of these moves. But he did say last night that head-to-head specifically comes into play when teams are next to each other. Now, I think that's insane. I think head-to-head should matter a lot. No matter where the teams are, it should be factored into the resume and also when you compare those teams. But if BYU loses this weekend and we're looking at Notre Dame and Miami right next to each other, I understand what the committee has been saying for the last 5 weeks, that they believe Notre Dame is better than Miami. But we also said 2 weeks ago, we believe the committee was saying they thought Notre Dame was better than Alabama. And guess what they just did? So I don't think it's out of the question at all that if Notre Dame and Miami are next to each other in the rankings, it's Miami that gets that last, that large spot. And it's Notre Dame who's left out in the cold. I think that would really, really anger a lot of people. But especially if we're in a possibility that is very alive, where the ACC champion does not get an auto bid. I mean, right now we know that the winner of the American is getting in, Tulane and North Texas. They have an auto bid. They're both in the rankings. Whoever wins that game is in the playoff. James Madison's at 25. And I think a lot of people get confused the idea that it's the four power conference champions and then the group of six champion. No, it's just the five highest rated conference champions. And right now, JMU, if they were to win the Sun Belt at 12-1, almost assuredly would be ahead of ACC champion at 8-5 Duke. So it could also be a little CYA situation for the committee to make sure if BYU loses to Texas Tech that the ACC is represented in the college football playoff. But right now, as it sits right now, the ACC would be fully out of this college football playoff.
Wow. Wow. Let me ask you this, Gray. I mean, do you feel this is the right system that we have in place? I'm sure. Listen, I can probably guess your answer given all the criticism that we've shared. But and if not, I mean, what do you think is the answer? I mean, we had the four playoff system that, look, the Alabama teams that I was on, we pretty much dominated. I ended up playing in four straight national championship games. So it treated us pretty well. But obviously people wanted to see more teams get opportunities. And I wasn't even mad at that, not just because I was already done playing, but I was like, you know, it'd be cool to get other football teams involved. But people talked about it. Well, you know, people are arguing about, you know, 3-4. They're just going to argue about 11-12, which literally that's exactly what's happening before our eyes. Now they're talking about potentially expanding it to 16 teams. What do you feel like, Gray, would be the right system? Something for me that I think could maybe help, as you mentioned, the James Madisons of the world. Listen, I understand we're trying to get them opportunities, but I almost think just strip away all the complexity to it. Just take the top 12 or the top 16 teams and let them go play football. What about you? What do you think is the right system?
That's how I've always felt. Like, just let them go. I've been saying eight. I was a believer in eight back when we had four. I was like, if we're going to do a playoff, let's just do eight teams and let them go. Pick the top eight teams and let the eight best go at it, because it is dumb that a ACC tiebreaker scenario where I was listening to a podcast today, Clemson beating Louisville and North Carolina beating Stanford are two of the reasons, because of conference winning percentage, that Duke finished like 0.16 ahead of Miami in the conference tiebreaker scenario. And that's why Duke is in the championship game.
Wow.
And so that's insane. Why are we letting a Duke team that was 1-3 in non-conference play go and have a shot at the playoff when the clearly superior team, I don't know any human in America who would take Duke over Miami. We're letting the clearly superior team not only sit home for the conference championship, but potentially be boxed out of the playoff if the committee decided that Duke should be in, and then JMU would have a field day. But like, we're missing the plot by trying to give too many people chances. Football is a game where you are credited for winning. And I don't know why we're trying to give rewards to teams who don't get it done on the field. I mean, a 7-5, 8-5 team should never be considered for the college football playoff. Same as a, let's go basketball, like a team that's a 7 seed in the conference tournament that runs through and wins and gets the auto bid, they're not suddenly in the mix for a top 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. They're probably going to be seeded 10th, 11th, or something like that. So I don't know why we're trying to open the door for so many teams that aren't capable of winning a national championship just in the sake of fairness. I think when you put down the football and you line everybody up, the meritocracy of this sport wins the day. And we are trying to retroactively decide too many things off the field on a sport where the on-field product typically actually determines who the best team is, probably 99 times out of 100.
I agree. I almost feel like having a 7-5 ACC champion in this college football playoff, you can't help but feel like it's like the participation trophy type vibe. And I'm glad you gave us that explanation, because I'll be honest, I don't know too much about the ACC and their model for how they come up with, you know, their conference championship game. But I was, you know, left confused, scratching my head, knowing that there's other ACC teams in that conference that I think would be much better football teams, and they're not playing for that. So thank you for that explanation. We're joined by Gray Robertson, again, my partner over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, also play-by-play with SEC Network Plus, host of the Out of the Box podcast. Hey, Gray, real quick before we let you go, again, you've been crushing. Our chat loves all the facts that you're spitting here, by the way. They're letting us know here on the stream. I want to ask you.
Sometimes chats don't love me, Christian, so I'm glad they're in on this.
Nah, they're loving it, man. They said Gray's preaching, man. Listen, you always got your facts, man. That's why I love getting you to explain all this and break it down, because, I mean, you do such a great job with it, obviously. But let me ask you this, Gray. We've got the SEC championship this weekend. I know you watch a lot of football. Alabama will have a rematch with the Georgia Bulldogs in Atlanta, a matchup that I feel like we see like every other year at least. So very familiar matchup. But this one's interesting. Again, these teams faced each other earlier in the year. Alabama got the dub on the road in Athens. This time around, they'll face in Atlanta, which is kind of like the second home for both of these teams. So I feel like it's still kind of almost a pretty even situation in terms of quote-unquote home field advantage. That said, both teams look a little bit different this time around. Alabama's offense has looked a little bit more sluggish on the back half of the season versus how they did earlier in the year when they played Georgia the first time. Then on the flip side, you got a Georgia football team whose defense wasn't as impressive at the time, who's playing a little bit better now. And the same thing with our defense. Our defense is playing a little bit better as well, actually a lot better. So there's a lot of things that could look different in this matchup for a rematch in the SEC championship game. What's your early, you know, preview or outlook on this SEC championship, Gary?
Well, I think it's a big game for Ryan Grubb. And I thought that he did, I mean, we talked about it on the postgame show after the first matchup. I thought he did a marvelous job scheming, crafting, creating so many different looks and plays in the first half against Georgia. Georgia did some things defensively that shook up Alabama a bit in the second half. And thankfully, the Alabama defense and one Kirby Smart decision made sure that Georgia didn't really do much beyond that one touchdown coming out of the locker room. So As I look at this matchup, I see, again, probably two very even teams. I think the play of the quarterbacks will make a big difference. And frankly, the emotional state of both quarterbacks and the health of both quarterbacks. You know, Gunnar Stockton is he's had some big moments. He looked really bad against Georgia Tech. Ty Simpson took about a million hits, and he's a baller, and we love him for that. But I hope that, you know, he's actually okay after some of the shots he's been taking the last few weeks. And also, can Ty kind of keep things calm and display some of the mechanics and the decisions that we saw from him in the big moments against Auburn, as opposed to kind of, you know, a standard first or second down? That was where he seemed to really get in trouble, where he had to truly make decisions, where he had to read a lot of things. When he knew where the ball was going, when he was ready pre-snap, that's where he was at his strongest this past weekend. And defensively, it'll probably just be another knockdown dragout that, again, is determined by the health of both sides. I mean, I think a lot of people on both teams are going to be dealing with injuries, and not just, you know, your end-of-the-year stingers, like real injury level, or I should say availability report level stuff that we're all going to be watching out for this week. So, you know, who can stay healthy? Who can make decisions in the clutch? And can Alabama's special teams be as good as Georgia's? Because, look, we've talked a lot on the postgame show about some of the special teams woes. Special teams outside of one punt on Saturday was really, really good. But Georgia's got arguably the best special teams unit in America, and Alabama's got to match that, whether it be flipping the field, making field goals, all that stuff. So all the little things are going to be crucial, and odds are when you throw all that in a pot and spin it up, it'll probably be another very, very exciting, close SEC championship game between Alabama and Georgia that we get to talk about afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully it's a party, like we like to call it on our post game show. Again, you can catch that every game day. We do it about an hour or so. We kick off when the game concludes. And again, me and Gray break down the game. We answer your questions. You can always tag us on Twitter and Facebook if you guys have any immediate questions after the game. And we break things down, not only for our game, but then we also take a look around the league and the country at things and how they take shape. And we'll definitely have plenty to talk about after this SEC championship game, because we know there's a number of other games being played that day, and we'll have to talk about what I guess we anticipate being the final playoff ranking. So make sure you guys tune into that again. Wherever you listen to the Crimson Tide Sports Network, whatever platform you use, you can catch us on there as well. Great, man. I appreciate you joining us, man. I love getting you on here, man. You're a wealth of knowledge, and you break things down so well. Tell everybody how they can keep up with you. I know you're doing some women's basketball. I saw Barker joined you. That was cool to see, which is awesome. Shout out to her, because I know she's doing her thing as well playing. But what else do you have on schedule maybe this week or coming up?
Yeah, first off, shout out to Sarah Ashley. It was her TV debut, and she crushed it. You know, she had such a great rookie year with the Spark in the WNBA, and now they're in their off season. She's getting a chance to do some of the media side, and it was a lot of fun to work with her. I'll be back on women's basketball on Sunday with Nia Butts, who coached at Kentucky. She was an assistant there, head coach at Arizona. She's a lot of fun, so we'll be on that broadcast Sunday. And yeah, right now, at @Gray_Robertson on the X/Twitter, we've got our out-of-the-box softball media days. I know some of y'all are like, wait, what? It's December. Why are you doing softball stuff? But this is our two-week series where we talk to every head coach in the SEC. We hear about their rosters. The teams love it. The fans of all the teams in the conference love it. So if you're itching for a little softball content as well, go check that out. And, wherever they need me, Christian, I mean, you know me, I'll probably show up. So the feed is active.
Absolutely, man. Well, yeah, definitely check Gray out on Twitter. You can keep up to date with everything he's got going @Gray_Robertson. Gray, man, I appreciate you joining us, man. We'll look forward to a good one this weekend, and hopefully it's a big time party on our post game show on the network.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my friend.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. That was Gray Robertson joining us from the Crimson Tide Sports Network, SEC Network Plus. Man, Gray's awesome, man. Love working with him over on our postgame show. He's awesome. So big thanks to him joining us here on our show here, The Miller's Edge. Good deal. We got to hit a timeout. It's the top of the hour break. We're going to hit a couple minutes early to catch up on some timeouts that we missed. And we come back, we'll keep diving into this whole playoff picture talk. Plus, we'll talk a little bit more about this matchup like we did with Gray just a minute ago. Alabama taking on Georgia in the SEC championship game. Can Kalen DeBoer get his first SEC championship here at Alabama? We'll find out this weekend, but we'll talk about it more right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9.
On tools for all your upcoming projects. Get Black Friday savings happening now at the Home Depot. Limit one per transaction. Exclusions apply. Full eligible tool list in-store and online.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Or find us on Facebook, Andrew Conifer Agency. Once again, you can reach us at 205-722-9201. Allstate, are you in good hands?
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
The year ends on December 7th. For just a few more days, you can get Babbel's lifetime access for less at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The NBA's late game went to Oklahoma City, which has won 13 games in a row after a victory at Golden State, 124-112. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 38 points. At Boston, 42 for Jaylen Brown in a win over New York, 123-117. Minnesota's Anthony Edwards scored 44 points in an overtime decision at New Orleans, 149-142. And Philadelphia whipped Washington, 121-102. Tyrese Maxey, 35 points in 29 minutes. The Wizards fall to 3-17. In college hoops, Syracuse upset number 13 Tennessee. Duke edged Florida 67-66. Number 5 UConn won at Kansas 61-56. And North Carolina won at Kentucky 67-64. Ole Miss offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr. will stay with the team for the playoffs, then leave for LSU. Mississippi up to number 6 in the new committee rankings.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller. And at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case in this. I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 51. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 33. Tomorrow and Friday, cloudy both days with periods of rain. highs between 47 and 50 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 39 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. If you haven't checked them out already, make sure you guys do that. Good Feet, the Good Feet Store, located here in Tuscaloosa, Midtown Village, or you can always go to their website, goodfeet.com, schedule an appointment, find the nearest location to you. But they are responsible for those premium art supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it. If you're dealing with something, man, I urge you guys, go check them out. Just try before you buy, nothing to lose. There's just some inserts you put in your shoes, man. They get to work. In 4 weeks, they're clinically proven to eliminate and alleviate that pain. You don't have to be a former athlete like myself, even though I definitely deal with a lot of bumps and bruises from that. But still, people like me that are on your feet all the time, walking around, nurse, teacher, whoever, you definitely could benefit from these art supports. So check them out. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, goodfeet.com. Just type in your zip code to find the nearest location to you. They're nationwide. I know we got listeners from literally all over the country. So make sure you guys find the nearest location to you. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. First hour, man, we talked a whole bunch about the playoffs, and I definitely still want to do that if you guys are still having some questions, comments, and concerns. And I'm sure you do, because there's a lot to dive into, and we just did that with Gray Robertson. Big thanks to him joining us again. Gray's my partner over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. He's also broadcaster, does play-by-play stuff with SEC Network Plus. Make sure you guys keep up with him at Gray_Robertson on X. But let me ask you this now, Chase Reed, whoever is all behind the glass today, I'm curious what y'all's guys' thoughts were with the whole playoff rankings that came out last night and just overall what we've been talking about. I mean, do you feel like there's any cause of concern for Alabama if you happen to lose SEC championship game, which again, not saying that happens, but for whatever reason, right? Just kind of where's y'all's head at when it comes to all this madness going on?
Well, Christian, when I was watching it live yesterday, I was kind of surprised. Kind of like Gray was saying, though, like several weeks back, it would have been the more comfortable and more reasonable time for Bama to kind of hop Notre Dame. And because, like you said, the strength of schedule and just was so much stronger, you know, and especially after the loss to Oklahoma, I still think it is stronger than Notre Dame's, but it like the reasoning for why they did it, kind of like y'all were talking about, just quite didn't make a lot of sense to me. But I mean, hey, I'm not complaining at all. But I will say, I think win or lose, I think Bama should be in. Just realistically, kind of like I've just been saying all week, if there's no conference championship game played, Alabama leads the SEC, the top team in the best conference. I just think that's the bottom line.
No, 100%. And I'm glad you and Gray had mentioned that. You're right. I mean, unfortunately, with the updated rankings, our wins, right, lost a couple of those ranked wins. It's a little bit different now, which that was one thing I forgot to mention that makes their argument even more confusing. But again, we're not complaining over here. As an Alabama fan, I think anybody's happy with the fact that, hey, we jumped Notre Dame, and that does feel like a solidified spot in the college football playoffs, which is going to be interesting. But at the end of the day, man, I'm one of these people. Maybe I'm one of the few. I know everybody's looking ahead to that, but I still value these SEC championships. You know what I mean? Like, to me, I don't think people, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I feel like people have kind of forgotten, like, the significance of being crowned an SEC champion. I mean, like, you guys know me. I got on my desk right here. I got all my rings right here. And I'll always proudly show them to you guys. But literally, half of these rings, well, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 of these rings, and there is a total of 8, yeah, I guess 9 with the little Under Armour one that I have added in here. Half of these rings are SEC championship rings. So I wouldn't be able to flex and brag about this whole, you know, jewelry box of rings if it wasn't for the SEC championship game. So maybe that's why I feel so strongly about it, but... And even the experience itself, I always tell people, like, I hate that we're in a space now with, because of the playoff system, there's like a, I feel like it's almost diminished the value of SEC championship, not just SEC championship, but really all conference champions. And just so much attention on these, the national championship picture, the playoff picture. I mean, being an SEC champion, especially, that is a huge accomplishment. I don't think people understand. Like, really just think about it. We talk about the gauntlet of the schedule we went through, going through all those games. Imagine being crowned. I know we're going in as the number one seed. That's great. But winning it and having that, you know, little quick ceremony post-game and stuff, and then think about, and I don't know if you guys, maybe you guys haven't been able to see this, but over at Malmore, like the complex, I mean, we have a whole bunch of presentation. There's a whole SEC championship wall. In the indoor, you've got the not only the number of national championships, but the number of SEC champions. So it's a big deal. And I feel like sometimes we forget about that with all the attention on everything else, with the playoffs and whatnot. But I'm excited about this matchup. I think it's a great opportunity. I know I think we talked about this stat, but if you guys haven't seen it, through 2 years, Coach DeBoer and Coach Saban are like neck and neck. They're tied with the, I guess, their record. And I want to say Coach Saban was able to win in his second year that championship. And so now Coach DeBoer has an opportunity to do that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that this hour because it's going to be an interesting matchup. You know, Gray, you know, hinted at it. There's a lot of injuries, not only for us, but for them too. I know one notable for them is, you know, their center is banged up just like ours. That could be something to pay attention to. We talk about the battle of the trenches. I know Slade talked about the battle of the trenches and that being a big deal, right? And so that's something to look at. But then on our side, we also have some injuries too. Parker Brailsford, I don't know if you guys paid attention to it, but in the Iron Bowl, you know, the first half he was in there, he was playing, and you could tell he definitely was banged up. But as the course of the game went on, you could tell it really started weighing on him. They ended up making the switch. And I got to say, man, the good news is if you're Alabama, I don't know a whole bunch about Georgia's backup center. I had to do some more research or go watch some more tape and find out more about him. But what I do know and what I do feel comfortable about is that Geno Vandermark, I mean, you talk about a guy that's being, you know, so useful. And they knew this, and that's why he was so important, talked about early on, you know, during camp and going into the season. I mean, the guy can play pretty much all across the offensive line. We've seen him play left guard, right guard, and now he's getting some snaps at center, literally. And he did a good job against Auburn, right? I mean, not perfect, but I definitely think it was good enough to say, all right, we're not too concerned if Parker Brailsford, for whatever reason, can't go. I think he's going to try. I don't have his updated status. I'll be honest with you. I haven't talked to anybody. But if it does, you know, in fact, end up being a situation where Brailsford's not healthy to go, the good news is our backup at center in Vandermark, I feel like you can feel pretty confident in him, knowing, you know, he just did it against Auburn, who has a really good defense and a defensive front. Plus, he's got plenty of experience in college football, playing other positions as well. So that's the good news. In terms of the loss of Quavis, that one's going to be interesting. I definitely felt in the Iron Bowl you could feel that loss somewhat, and I'd say from a number of spots. In the passing game, you know, I feel like it just makes a quarterback feel so much better when they have their security blanket, when they have that go-to guy. Those underneath routes, you know, a lot of, you know, design plays for tight ends. It's hard to feel comfortable calling those when you got a true freshman in Edwards and, you know, Pritchett, right, another young guy in the game. But also felt like you noticed loss with certain little things. If you go and watch the tape, I mean, it's a couple of times, you know, Edwards is, you know, struggling a little bit when it comes to blocking, and that's expected, a true freshman tight end. But I'm just curious if that could end up being something in this game. The good news is Bernard, I think, is healthy. He didn't look 100% healthy to me in the Iron Bowl either, but he walked away from it clean, and hopefully he's still on his way getting better. But really, most of the injuries for us really come on the offensive side of the football, unless I'm forgetting something. But I feel like we're relatively healthy, knock on wood, on defense. Only one I can really think of off the top of my head, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Deshaun Jones, he's got that club, I think maybe like a broken hand or something, which they've been playing Red Morgan at Husky anyway, so that's not a huge deal there. Outside of that, I think everybody's solid. Matter of fact, we're getting guys back. Quay Rousseau was back in the Iron Bowl, and I thought he looked solid. Again, you just watch him play. You might not notice him, you know, huge impact on the stat sheet just yet with him coming back. But if you turn on the tape, just having his physical presence is a big deal. I mean, if you go watch how Quay Rousseau plays the run, I think he's still probably, you know, getting a little bit more healthy as we speak with his foot. But he still had plenty of juice for a guy that's coming off of a broken foot or whatever the injury was. And two, just watching him take on, you know, whether it's tight ends or tackles, you know, setting the edge. Man, Quay Rousseau is physical with that, and he does a really good job. You're talking about a Georgia football team that's going to look to run the football. I think, matter of fact, shout out to Cover Crimson. I think they put out the stats comparing the two teams. I want to say had Georgia averaging like 100 and maybe 90 yards on the ground per game. I got to go find it. But anyway, you know Georgia's going to try to run the football. That's what they like to do. So having guys like that back is a big deal in this game. I see Philly says Quavis was able to get open when Ty needed it. Yeah, and that's the beauty of a tight end, a reliable tight end. I mean, we talk about him all the time. Look at Pat Mahomes with Travis Kelce, right? I mean, look at Mark Andrews with the Ravens. You name it. I mean, Knox with the Bills. I mean, tight ends, the best teams always have a reliable tight end because it allows you, especially underneath, you know, quick passing game, almost like a security blanket, just dumping the ball off, helping your quarterback get in rhythm. When you have a guy like that, man, it enhances the quarterback play so much. And that's what Quavis, you know, turned out to be this season. If you go back and look at it, I know Horton has been a, you know, a great addition, but I would argue, I would list, and I think even the numbers will say this, you got Jeremy Bernard and then Quavis right there in terms of targets and receptions. I mean, he's that impactful. Now, you clearly saw us. I mean, the Iron Bowl, I mean, we can win games without him, but it is a big loss. And then you add Jam to the equation. I forgot to mention him. Right when he got back looking like, you know, the old Jam, right? I felt like he was feeling confident, probably a little bit more healthy than he had felt in weeks. He goes down with another injury, and I don't anticipate him playing either. So Daniel Hill and whoever they have, you know, rotating with him will have a lot on their shoulders because we're going to need that running game in this game. It's going to be important.
You think A.K. Deer gets a little bigger of a role here?
Wait, who is it? That's not Reed. Who is that?
It's Jackson.
Oh, Jackson. What's up, Jackson? I'm like, y'all are scaring me. I'm like, wait, Reed, are you good, bro? You swallowed something the wrong way. what's up, Jackson? I would say you said A.K. Deer. Here's the thing. I definitely think you probably see him get a few snaps. I don't know the amount. I know a lot of people are calling for that.
Because Kevin Riley's hurt, is he not?
Yeah, if Kevin Riley's still out, you definitely see that. If Kevin Riley is a go, personally, I feel like you maybe see a little bit, maybe all three, right? But I think at this point, yes. I mean, we've seen A.K. Deer get more snaps. They've even talked about it. They want to try to give him the ball a little bit more. And I think you need somebody with a little bit change of pace. Like Daniel Hill to be 245 pounds is very athletic. But having a little bit more shiftiness, you know what I mean, a change of pace back is really important. And I like Kevin Riley. I know some people kind of forgot about him, you know, over the course of the year. But here's my thing. Like, he was one of the few guys that was, like, even back early in the year, you know, putting his head down and hitting the hole, right? Not just in one game, but when he was seeing action early on. And to me, that was impressive, especially with him being the lightest guy in the room. He just kind of got, you know, passed up by some of the other guys. But, yeah, I think – I don't know if he's still banged up. I have to wait to see, I guess, the official injury report. But, yeah, I do anticipate seeing a little bit more of A.K. Deer, and hopefully he can have that impact that everybody is hoping and expecting. Because, I mean, this could be an opportunity for him. I mean, he could step up in this game with the injuries that we have and, you know, run off with, you know, I guess into the playoffs as that guy. You know what I mean? And then put himself in a really good position moving forward. I mean, if you look at the position going into next year, everybody's looking at Crowell and the guys we're signing now, but Daniel Hill will be back. Kevin Riley will be back. You got A.K. Deer. I guess really the main one leaving would be Jam, but then also Dre Washington, the transfer from Louisiana. So it's going to be interesting, man. I just hope he's ready for pass pro, because I'm going to tell you this right now. I mean, Georgia up front, their guys aren't really like the best at getting to the quarterback, but they do bring a lot of pressure, whether it's from the backers, from the safeties. So whoever is in at running back, I hope they got their chin straps tightened up and they're ready to pass pro, because that has been an issue for us, the backs and pass pro. And if you're talking about a younger guy in there, normally that's an area that they tend to struggle with. And best believe Georgia would look to try to maybe exploit that if they can. So hopefully if he does get opportunities, he's ready for that. Not just to run the football great, which, you know, that's everybody loves that out of a running back, but you got to have a guy that's willing to protect and put his head in there.
Yeah,
and those guys are running at you.
C.J. Allen and Raylan Wilson, they'll be sending them all, I would assume, yeah, all game.
1,000%. Yeah, I mean, that's – if you look at how they get to the quarterback, I mean, they struggle with the guys up front, just, you know, letting four rush, right? So they run a lot of – they plug backers, right, run a lot of dogs. They bring, you know, guys, whether it's, you know, safeties, corners. And that's when you're talking about those backs being key, right? And you go back and look at the Oklahoma game, we had two sacks from the running backs, right? Failing in pass pro. So best believe Georgia, they're going to watch tape, especially the games that other defense had a lot of success. And what did Oklahoma do? Well, they did a lot of that as well. So something to look out for in this matchup. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come back, we keep on rolling. Speaking of the players, we had player interviews yesterday. There's some availability after practice. We'll get to those. We'll play some of those here, hear from some of the guys, see where their head's at this week as they head into this SEC championship matchup. Plus, we're open on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. If anybody wants to jump on here and talk some ball, we'd love to have you right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather. Mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 51. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 33. Tomorrow and Friday, cloudy both days with periods of rain. Highs between 47 and 50 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 43 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We got some player interviews from yesterday I want to get to. We got a couple of them, so we're going to have to pick. We've got Jeremy Bernard. We got Caden Proctor. We've got LT Overton. We've got Bray Hubbard. And we got Xavien Brown as well. So let's see. Bray Hubbard had himself a hell of a game. But I will say this, Bray is just very straightforward when it comes to media. Right? He's just like, man, he's all about that action. He don't really care about any, you know, numbers, this, that. He just wants to play ball. Who should we go? Let's go with LT Overton. I feel like we haven't heard from him in a minute. Let's hear what LT Overton had to say. We'll try to listen to as many of these guys as we can. Plus, I want to talk a little bit about signing day. I don't want to completely look over it because I do know a lot of you guys really like recruiting. So I will bring that up here. In a second, we'll just take a quick scan over, and if there's any questions about certain guys, maybe we can pull up their tape. But let's pull up LT Overton from yesterday discussing the SEC championship game this weekend.
Just what'd you think of the way the defense played this past weekend?
I feel like it was phenomenal all around. There's definitely little gaps to fill in when it comes to run stopping, and just all around getting the ball out there. We can get more takeaways too.
Is there any difference in the film study for a team like Georgia that you've already played before versus a team that you haven't already played?
No, really treat every opponent the same, regardless if you played them or not. It's a new game, so we're going to treat it such.
What do you expect to see out of them, especially in a game that's kind of in their backyard?
Just more grit. I mean, we've already played them away at their place, but, you know, it's for a bigger stage now, so, you know, both sides are going to give it all.
And in terms of their offense, obviously they have a versatile running game that was talked about a lot going into the first matchup. Do you expect that to be a focal point again?
Always. That's what SEC built on, run first passing.
And what can you guys build on maybe from what you did well this past weekend going into the SEC championship?
Definitely just techniques. Everybody just keying in on their gaps and assignments, just focusing on our jobs and what we're supposed to do. Everybody do their job, it should be a breeze.
What do you think maybe is the biggest area of improvement or learning or coming along that the defense has had since the start of the regular season now that it's over?
I say definitely trying to get takeaways and just learning about like possessions and stuff, focusing on down distances, what drives matter the most, and how we're going to get the offensive ball back on the loose.
What about for you individually?
I mean, honestly, like I'm a known run stopper at this point, but pass rush could always improve.
When you have a quarterback like Gunnar Stockton, and like I mentioned, the running game and everything else, does it excite you to play a quarterback like that, knowing that he can do multiple different things?
I mean, always, more the merrier.
Georgia seems like they've gotten better running the ball the last time you faced them. You feel that same way?
Yeah, breakdown team. I mean, every team is getting better as long as they play every game.
You feel like you guys have gotten better the last time you guys played?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Not just offensively, but defensively, to figure out more ways to get the ball off other teams and to be more fundamental in the run game.
You guys have generated a lot of turnovers, excuse me, the last couple of weeks. Do you feel like that's the identity of this defense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one of my main goals. Is we call ourselves Swamp Deep. Main thing just gets that ball. We always get the offense the ball.
Does Womack emphasize that at practice, taking the ball away?
Always. Down there, every drill is somewhere we got to get the ball out.
What have you seen out of Gunnar Stockton since the last time you guys played him?
Just more versatile. Not just on his feet, but he's making better reads. So our DBs are not just DBs, but our whole secondary is working just to make sure he has like less business down the field. I don't really know how that goes, but giving us more time up front, get back there.
Ray Hubbard's emerged as a leader for this defense, especially since the Florida State game. Do you feel like he's improved drastically throughout the season? And it feels like every time he talks, people listen.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Brace has been a leader on the defense. He's considered one of the top leaders. Everybody, if anybody has anything to say, regardless who you are, anybody's going to listen on the team. This is how this role works. I'm standing on this team. But I just seen tremendous growth. I mean, through all these games, Brady's been a savior in a lot of them. So,
LT, are you guys watching a lot of film from that game in September? Or are you guys watching a lot from after that, post when they saw you guys last? Or what did that look like?
I mean, other than the way teams come up their offense, teams grow not just mentally but physically long season goes. So it's more so are they focusing on their strengths in their offense, and how can we take those strengths away?
So I guess looking back at the last game you guys played, I guess watching that film, how much growth do you see in your defense?
Tremendous growth. I mean, what was it, the fourth game?
Yeah.
End of the season now.
Yeah.
Not just secondary, but I've seen tremendous growth from the D-line, too. You don't need everybody, not just the ones, twos, but threes and fours, too.
What specifically, what does growth look like in the D-line since then? What do you guys do better?
Honestly, just striking the dude. Striking the dudes better. Not just that, but you just see a whole different change in mindset and intensity.
Yeah.
Dudes trying to really just get after each other, get better. Beat each other up. Everybody's trying to win that field. So.
Sorry if you've been asked this already, but Georgia had a pretty effective day running the ball last time you guys matched up. Are you guys keying in on that, or is that something that, you know, you're not really – maybe that's an outlier situation because you guys have had a really good defense, top 10 unit all season long.
Yeah, I mean, SEC built off the run, so we know that's something they focused on when we played them first the first time, but – that's every team we play. You got to be able to establish a run before you get that pass off. You can't get that run off. What are you going to do? Change that then. But we know that's one of their main trajectories and how they run their offense. At the end of the day, this time it boils down to what's doing our defense.
Last time you guys played Georgia, Tim wasn't at 100%. He was coming off the injury in fall camp, leading up to Florida State there. He's obviously back again. He's been back all season long. He'll play in this matchup, obviously. Just what does it mean to have him being able to go for this matchup against Georgia?
Just a force. I mean, this is – you have to do ICK in the middle. So I'm saying, guys, flying out my way. So just having him in there, knowing that presence, him and James Smith in there, makes my job easy.
Two more for LT.
Just being kind of from Georgia, but also kind of from here in some ways, what does he mean to Atlanta?
It means a lot. I mean, I've been in a lot of SEC championships in my past life as a fan. But finally getting to be in one in my senior year, live now means a lot.
Where do you think you guys stand in the playoff picture?
I think we're the best team in the country, regardless of what conference or anybody has to say. It's just a world, regardless. So.
There you go. Best team in the country, them against the world, says LT Overton. Strong way to finish that interview. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come back. We'll keep talking this SEC championship matchup probably here from another player or so. Plus, We'll talk a little bit about signing day as well. We got to show some love there. A lot of young men signing with Alabama. We'll take a look at the updated rankings for you guys. Last time I checked, I think we were around like two or so, but we'll pull those up and we'll discuss it a little bit. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. I think we got Tommy on the line. Outside of that, I think we're freed up. So if you guys want to jump in, come on. We're encouraging you guys to do so right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Home of Alabama sports.
Alabama, Georgia for the SEC title again.
And Alabama is headed to Atlanta again and play fast.
It's the Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs for the SEC title. Live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us at noon this Saturday on your home for Alabama football.
The top options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. I want to just finish this talking point I was having during the break real quick. We had a question. It's a good question. It said, if we were to lose, do you think, like asking my personal opinion, we are still worthy of the playoffs? And I said, yes. I don't think a loss to Georgia in the SEC championship game for me would define if we're worthy or not. And I was just explaining, like, to me, I rather go off of like, I respect and I totally think this matters too. Strength of schedule, wins, losses. I think all that criteria matters. But as a former player, like to me, I just want the best teams playing the best teams. And if you ask me, regardless of the outcome of the SEC championship game, is Alabama one of the top 12, even though I know it's really like top 10 because the outliers and the other bids. But does Alabama still fall in that category? I absolutely think so. I mean, because the way I sum it up is from what I've seen earlier on the year, Alabama showed what we're capable of offensively. And just because we've sputtered a little bit the last few games, that doesn't mean we can't replicate or recreate what we had done offensively early on. And now we have a defense to go with that, right? Early on in the year, if you think about it, it's kind of funny. We kind of like flipped. Early on, it felt like we had one of the, because I remember talking about this. Speaking of Gray, me and Gray sat on our post-game show on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. And we talked about, you know, after some of those early games, I mean, we had one of the most impressive offenses in the country. You know, the running game was a little, you know, inconsistent. Yes. But the fact that we were having those extensions to the running game, utilizing Jeremy Bernard in a number of ways, Isaiah Horton was coming along. He had the big performance at Missouri, right? Or he had, you know, a lot of, you know, big plays there. Sierra Brooks. I mean, our passing game was much more consistent then. But our defense, like, is we were playing good. It was a little deceptively good, but we were giving up some explosives. You talk about the Georgia game, gave up a lot on the ground there. And I remember just kind of thinking, man, if we could get our defense to kind of, you know, take it up a notch, take it up a level, I think this team is a top four team easily, which Alabama was ranked up there, right? But then the offense started to kind of stall, get a little sluggish, right? Kind of like we're kind of not sputtering a little bit because, again, we're not playing terrible, but you get what I'm saying. It's like something like our engine's not running the way it should. Then our defense, though, our defense has been damn near lights out the last four or five games, right? I mean, don't get confused by the numbers against Auburn. I mean, you take away some of those explosives, I mean, the numbers look a lot different. That said, Alabama still is a top team regardless of the outcome of the SEC championship game. So that's my personal take, because that was the question. For me personally, yes, I still feel like Alabama is definitely deserving of that spot. Oklahoma, who's right there in front of us. Look, Oklahoma is a really good football team, hence why I talked them up, their defense, especially before we played them. But if I'm being completely honest with you, they're not a better team than Alabama. I thought they had a really good defense. I thought the matchup with, you know, Brent Venables and that defense versus our offense on how we have been playing as a recent was definitely, you know, somewhat of a concern and ended up being the case, right? We had all those turnovers, which they contributed to. But that said, they don't have an offense that to me is really capable. Like ours, we have a capable offense. They're just not firing on all cylinders right now. And I would argue that if we run that game back with those guys, say you ran five games, we're going to win at least three out of the five, at least. Personally, that's my take. So, you know, that's just kind of how I look. I go off the eye test, and that's what my eyes tell me, that if Alabama can clean up some of these little miscues and things and get back to how we played early on in the year, we without a doubt still are a top team, barring, you know, something like Gray mentioned, some injury or something. If that happens, and there might be some consideration there like Gray mentioned. But we're not going to speak that. I got a wooden desk right here. 205-342-9904 is the number. We're going to get back to reading some more chats. But first, let's go to the phone lines. We got Tommy waiting. Plus, I'll go ahead and pull up these rankings, by the way, that way you guys can see some of this recruiting stuff while we talk to Tommy. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, man. How are you, Tristan?
I'm good. Tommy, how are you?
Can't complain. Sitting by the farm, roasting my little toesies. Yeah.
A little early for that. The sun came back out today, though.
Well, I know. My bow get cold. And, you know, I'm lazy. I like hot chocolate sitting by the fire. So see me, okay? I'm lazy.
I don't blame you one bit.
All right. Well, look like we signed everybody we want to sign so far. I mean, it hasn't been no major dip. I mean, our coaching staff have done a good job recruiting and holding the recruit to commit to the University of Alabama. I'm real happy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, Tommy. I don't know about the other classes or who they sign. I know on three, which I think is very reputable, a lot of people typically lean on them for their recruiting information. But regardless, that's why, again, I don't get too caught up in the rankings. I do know back in the spring when these guys were and going into summer, even though we don't talk a whole bunch about recruiting, when it was that time of year, a lot of people were asking about these guys. So I did get to see a number of them. And I'll probably, now that they've signed, go back and watch some more. But I can tell you this, Xavier Crowell is a very talented running back. I watched his tape, and he's very impressive. He's got that typical size, right? He's 5'11", 210 is what he's listed at. Runs really hard. It's good burst, hits a hole hard. I mean, he's a tough defender to bring down. He's put up some crazy numbers. And I think he's, you know, reclassified too. So he's some of those younger cats like Ryan. I'm really excited about him. Xavier Griffin, I'll go ahead and tell you. I love watching defensive players. And when I watched his tape, he reminds me of a Jahad Campbell type player. And it's funny because literally not long after that, I think he was on a podcast and mentioned that's who they showed him when they were recruiting him. They said he could be that type of player where they could play some inside backer, right? He could play some outside backer, all these different packages and things that we see with Kane Womack and moving guys around. He's like that Swiss Army knife, 6'3", you know, 205. He's basically like my stature that I was coming out of high school. I left here at 245, so I think his frame, he easily can get up to about 230, 235 in the next couple of years or so. But, I mean, the guy can run. He's physical. He can rush the passer. He can drop in coverage. Really excited about him. I think he's going to have a chance to really excel here in this defense. And then real quick, and I don't want to take all your time, Tommy, but the safety, Jaire Edwards, matter of fact, I think he actually has the same financial advisor as me, ironically, man. The guy's in high school and already has financial advisors. But funny enough, we got to see his tape, and he's a very physical player, flies downhill. I think he's like 6'1.5", 205. They got him listed at. He kind of gave me, you know, I don't know, like vibes of like a Mark Barron type guy, like a bigger safety, but that, you know, ends up being really good for a guy like Kane Womack, you know, where we see these positions, right? Where you can, you know, get in the dime and you want a bigger presence, a little bit closer to the box, was that athletic ability. Then on earlier downs or other packages, you know, he's athletic enough to play on the back end too. But I really just love his physicality, man. He's not afraid of contact, comes down, you know, lays the wood on dudes, and a really good player. But I'll wait to talk about the other ones. Let me pass it back to you. I just had that on my mind. But you're right, though. Recruiting is going really well, and I think a lot of people are pleased with that, Tommy.
Well, yeah, you know, we always talk about in the summer, people say, oh, we're getting this commitment on the spring. How am I going to say it? I'm like your dad. I'm like, I don't get too excited in April, May about a recruit commitment because, you know, That's 5 months till signing day. And he's going to get hammered. He's going to get recruited hard. So they put the night. I'm glad they kept the word. I'm glad the coaching staff did their job. You need a recruit for your needs. And if this player is going to fit your scheme or your philosophy, and you're going to be a team leader. That's the three things I would look for. But, you know, I'm not a coach, so silly me for thinking that way. But, you know, yeah, I'm looking forward to the basketball game tonight. I'm in Clemson in basketball. So, yeah, it's been a good week. But,
It has, man. Yeah, that'll be good, too. I forgot to mention that. You're right. You got the ACC-SEC Classic. You're taking on Clemson, so we'll definitely be tuning to that. And I promise we'll talk some more basketball on the show throughout the year once we get a little bit deeper into basketball season. Right now, we're in the thick of it with football and the playoff rankings, and now we got signing day and we got the SEC championship game. But we'll talk some ball here, in maybe a month or so down the road at some point for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I will forget, hey, wait a minute, I watch them. But, you know, keep up with the sport, I mean, we have a great university. And Tuscaloosa is blessed to have quality athletic team and stuff. So I'm from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, so I don't know. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you got lucky, man. Really, you got lucky to be born in a place that's got really good athletics, being an athletic fan, man. That's a good one. Tommy, good to hear from you, man. Keep those toes warm, man. Don't burn them, though, in that fireplace now.
I won't. I won't be roasting my toesy roasting too much. It won't be crackling. All right. You have a good one. I'll talk to you later, man. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Sounds good, Tommy. Roll Tide. Good deal. We got to hit a timeout. We come back, wrap things up. I think we got Digger on the phone lines here, what he has to say. I know he's not going to be too happy, though. His Longhorns on the outside looking in, and looks like a long shot. So
this deal is a yearly fave, so hurry. Get more gifting for your buck and save 10% on Target gift cards with Target Circle for 2 days only. Only at Target. Restrictions apply.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today, 51. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 33. Tomorrow and Friday, cloudy both days with periods of rain. Highs between 47 and 50 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 43 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC talking a little bit of recruiting here during the break. Just going over some of these guys. We're talking about receiver Sadarius Morgan and just the athlete that he is, man. A big body receiver, definitely displays all the ability to high point the football. A lot of, you know, contested acrobatic catches, what we call mossing on people. I mean, dude is a dog. And, you know, whoever it is, whether it's, you know, Keelan Russell, Austin Mack, or whoever it is down the road, maybe one of his classmates, man, they're going to have a big weapon, definitely on the outside. Definitely is more outside receiver X, but he's going to be a dog. But I was just saying, I'm curious to see, because a lot of people are throwing around the Julio Jones thing, and I'm like, you know, if he displays that he does have that, you know, extra level of athleticism for a bigger receiver, which is very, it's not common, it's pretty rare, that would be very scary. But I just was saying, just like Dom here on our chat was just saying, he doesn't have a lot of tape of him running a bunch of routes. And that's what I was explaining, the tape. And that makes sense. If you talk about high school recruits, a lot of times, man, these guys are just such good athletes. They're not asked to. Their coaches aren't having them do that, whether you're a receiver or a linebacker. You're not asked to do all the things you're going to be asked to do at the next level. So I always do, you know, consider that something that's interesting, how they, you know, transition when they are asked to do things that they hadn't necessarily had to do in high school, right? Because they're just so good. They just dominate everybody. So at least Dom knows what we're talking about with that. I don't know why people took it out of context months ago. But anyway, 205-342-9904. We got a few minutes left. I'm curious to hear what Digger has to say. Digger, talk to me, man. I know the playoffs and the rankings came out last night. I'd imagine you're not too happy.
Now, what are we doing here? I mean, why are we doing this? If we're going to get punished for playing Ohio State, I mean, I don't get it.
Don't lose to Florida.
You know, if we didn't play Ohio State, we would be in the playoff with two losses.
Don't lose to Florida.
So we're getting punished for what we're doing. Okay.
I gave y'all credit yesterday for having the cojones to open up week one against a team like Ohio State. I hear you there. But like Jackson is saying in the background, I don't know if you can hear him, but he is saying it's the truth. The Florida loss, though, I mean, that is kind of holding you back. I don't think it's Ohio State loss. But I'm with you. That is frustrating. Because, listen, if you schedule a cupcake, I agree. If you schedule a cupcake week one like some people do, you're right. The Florida loss wouldn't matter, and you probably wouldn't be punished. Maybe I don't know.
You also got to turn it around
a little bit here. What if you were to play Ohio State and we play Wisconsin? Okay.
Well, I mean,
we opened up with Florida State, who, again,
at the time when we scheduled Florida State, I mean, they weren't as bad. Yeah. I'm assuming they were a better team.
And this is the other thing that word gauntlet. Y'all talk about the gauntlet. Are we really talking about a gauntlet when you play Mizzou and they ended up 7-4? Okay, we've got the number one schedule, it's strength of schedule in the country. Right now, as we stand, if you look it all up, it's not in the middle of the season, not at the beginning, it's the end of the season. We played five top 10 teams. We went 3-2. We're not getting credit for that. How many top 10 teams did y'all play? How many?
Top 10, we played Georgia and we played Oklahoma, so two.
And what's your record there?
We went 1-1 in this game.
I'm pretty sure
we went 1-1.
And again, I'm just saying.
Yeah, top 10.
You lose this title game. I'm just saying. You're going to have three losses here. You better win this SEC championship because it's not going to make any sense if you're left in the playoffs because you went to the SEC championship game. How many of these teams in the SEC went 7-1? Question. Simple question. How many?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I mean, Alabama.
I know. It's 7-1.
Four.
Okay, 7-1. Four of the SEC teams in this conference went 7-1. How did you get there? How did you get there? You can be honest with me. How did you get there?
Tiebreaker,
right?
Well, Georgia,
you got there by tiebreaker.
Crap out of Texas.
No, you didn't.
He said Georgia got there by beating the crap out of Texas. Listen,
right,
Digger, this is what I'll say. Look, I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you. I mean, I think the committee and a lot of the stuff that they're saying is all over the place. I don't think there's any consistency, and I understand why somebody like you could be frustrated. However, And I agree that, you know, the playing Ohio State to open up the season, I mean, you have to respect that because you're saying, hey, we're going to start the season playing the reigning national champions, the top team. Even though the game was scheduled, you know, years in advance, you know, it's Ohio State. You expect them to be a good football team. I respect that. But like Jackson's saying, I mean, the Florida loss, that doesn't help. And I get it. Y'all are playing much better now, but y'all also went through a stretch in the middle of the season or earlier on in the season where y'all weren't playing great football, man. Arch Manning was not looking great. Now, while y'all are much better and y'all are definitely peaking at the right time.
Was that a good ball game that y'all played against South Carolina? Was that a good ball game you played against Auburn? Come on.
Absolutely not.
South Carolina, Auburn, Christian.
But listen, you're acting like we're very far off. We're at number 9. We were at 10. You guys are at 13, right? With 3 losses, we have 2. Digger, I don't know what to tell you, brother.
But you can't necessarily be mad at us.
Yeah, but you can't necessarily be mad at us.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying, who had the better resume if you got 3 losses? If you lose this SEC title game, that's my point.
Who had the better resume? But that also takes.
No, you don't.
But that takes into account that we're playing an extra game. You look at it where it ends now. The regular season concluded, and we have 2 losses. You guys have 3. So, listen, Digger, I'm not mad at you for being upset.
I'm just saying, I'm not mad at y'all for not getting there. Look, I get it. Okay, we're getting hoodwinked. We were told strength of schedule was going to be a part in this. It's not. And I'm telling you, the last thing I'm going to say, the TV executive at Fox and ESPN, they're going to be really upset when we pull out of the Ohio State matchup next year. Because we're getting screwed over this thing. Okay?
Hey, listen.
Big matchup at the beginning of the season, and you're not going to get it anymore problem. If we're going to be getting punished like that.
It's not the Ohio State game. That's your problem. You were ranked inside the top 10 with two losses.
You're flipping it around. I can say the same thing about what y'all are saying.
It's the Florida game that hurt you. It's playing overtime with Kentucky. It's playing overtime with Mississippi State. It's not the Ohio State game.
And what did you do with South Carolina? You were losing until the last day. I'm just saying, nobody plays a straight game in the road game. I'm just saying.
So
you can bellyache about how we play. Win's a win.
Are you saying it's a gauntlet because you played overtime with Kentucky and Mississippi State?
I didn't say it was a gauntlet. Y'all keep saying it's a gauntlet. I'm just telling you're bellyaching about how we won these games. And y'all are in the same boat as we are.
Fair.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'll say this because we got to go. I feel bad. We're holding Wyatt up, but it was a gauntlet at the time, 100%. The teams were all ranked with like top 15, 16, whatever. Appreciate everybody joining us. We're going way over. Wyatt's waiting for us, so we're going to get out of here. Digger, sorry you're upset, man, but blame it on the committee. Big thanks, everybody. We'll see you guys tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230.